We're probably the only church, modern church in America, dresses up on Sunday. Places I go, I preach. Well, all of Doc's people, all of his pastors, they dress up. You don't wear blue jeans if you're a pastor, or especially on the president's cabinet like I am or whatever. You don't wear blue jeans to his meetings. Are you out there? Even if you got a tie and a shirt and all that, you don't do that. All of his, but any other churches I go to, I'll show up on Sunday morning, I'll be tie and all that, and here comes the pastor and all the rest of them. You can't tell him the rest of them. And just have on whatever they go to work in. Don't dress up. I'm the only one there, and usually in the whole house with a coat and tie on. And they'll say, "You didn't have to wear that." I said, "Yes, I did. I do too. It's what God commanded." Amen. You know, if you read the Bible over in Exodus, God commanded the priests, told them how to dress all the way down to their underwear. Told them what kind of underwear were. So it must be important, isn't it? But you can't make it a religion, and you can't make it legalistic. You have to do it as honor. And that's the reason I do it, as honor. I respect the office I stand in. I respect it with enough to try my best to look as good as I can with what I've got to look with, you know. So it's out of respect and honor for God that I do that. You don't have to do it. God will bless you just as much. You know, you can wear short flip-flops. God will bless you. But I think after a while, you know, you ought to start dressing like your spirit grows up, you know. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord anyway. Look with me in Exodus 15. Share with you a few scriptures. I'm going to start it out with a scripture. You don't have to turn it. You turn to Exodus, and I'm going to quote this scripture in Psalms 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Amen? Blessed is a nation. You know, God's into nations. You know, God established nations. You know, God established nations with boundaries. The Bible says God puts boundaries around nations. He established nations. The Bible says in the last days that he will come and he will separate the sheep nations from the goat nations. Now, this is in the millennial reign. There'll be sheep nations and goat nations. The goats represent those who are not of God. Now, this is not people nations. He talked about nation. That's a sheep nation or a goat nation. And he will separate the goat nations, and he will remove them and remove their influence or even their name. He deals with nations. He lifts up nations, puts down nations. The Bible's full of it, how he deals with nations. And the goat nations are the nations who followed God, who honored God, and honored Israel. The sheep nations, no, what did I say, the goat nation? The goat nation are the one who didn't follow God. You know what I'm trying to say. It's easier for you to say than it is me. The goat nations are the one who don't honor God, don't honor Israel, don't follow God, and the sheep nations are the one who do. And so God removes them. So it's obvious that he looks at nations. He said, and also in Psalms, he said, righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness. Wickedness brings a nation down, he says. Righteousness, well, who's righteous? We are. Yes. We're the only thing on the earth that's righteous with his righteousness. Every man has a righteousness in himself, but our own righteousness as those are filthy rags. He don't receive our righteousness, but the righteousness exalts a nation. The church is that righteous. In every nation, he wants a church, especially in this dispensation we're living in. And the church was the righteousness. And if we stay righteous before God, which and stay clean and honor him and walk in his word, he said, I will bless your nation because of you. And when the light of the gospel is put out, he said that we are the light of the world. We are salt. And if the salt has lost its savor or its ability to be salty, it loses its effect. So salt, we know, is a preservative. It keeps things preserved. So he was doing a metaphor there that you are what keeps your nation preserved. The church is. So it's a must that we stay salty. The church is what makes our nation blessed. Kenneth Hagin saw in a vision in 1950-something. He saw in the distance a rider on a horse coming riding as fast as he could. And he kept watching, and the rider kept getting closer and closer. And the rider rode up to where he stood and stood by him and reached him a scroll. And he unrolled the scroll, and he said, America is receiving her last call. Many nations have received their last call, and they'll never receive another one. That means God won't. That doesn't mean there won't be a remnant somewhat or other in these nations of Christians, Christianity, and be Christians and people being saved because we keep working, we keep going, even to the darkest nations. But some nations, he said, have received their last call, and he won't deal with them anymore. He'll remove them as a nation. He'll turn them over. That's sad if he does that. Lester Summerall saw a vision. He saw a TV screen appeared to him on a wall. And in that TV screen appeared a demon spirit. And he said, who are you? And he said, my name's Apollyon. The demon of death and disaster, Apollyon. And he said, What are you here for? He said, I will destroy America. And Summerall, naturally, being aggressive toward demons, said, you will not destroy America. You can't destroy America. We're too strong. The church is strong. He said, how will you destroy America? And he said, through the TV. That's why he appeared on a TV. And through the news media, and through Hollywood and things that come on TV. And Summerall said, you can't. The church is here. He said, I will weaken the church. And he said, how can you weaken the church? I will make the church dirty. And when the church gets dirty, and when the church turns away from God, the church loses its power. And when the church loses its power, it has no more effect on Apollyon to resist him, to stop him from destroying our nation. Now, these are prophets who received the word of the Lord. Why am I so dogmatic about how we vote, who we vote for, and our stance? Why am I so dogmatic? It's not politics. It don't have a thing in the world to do with that. I care less about politics or who they are or what they, all that. My stand is, I know these principles. I know this. The church cannot become weak and allow this, everything that God's against, we can't be for. If we're for what God's against, then we weaken ourselves to where we're no longer effective against Apollyon or these demons of darkness in these last days that declare they will destroy our nation. It's very important America survive. We're the only nation on this earth who preach the gospel. And so it's in my heart big. It's in my spirit big. I guess the prophetic anointing or the heart. Prophets simply means you have God's heart about a matter. And I see this and the urgency of it. That's why I signed up and with Doc Barclay, like I do, and his company of ministers, because he sees this well. And that's what he's trying to do, is going around all the churches, trying to get them back in order, keep us back strong, back in righteousness, the strength of God, to where we can resist these evil forces that's coming against our nation. It's very important to have the covering of God on our nation. We're at a point now that we see light and darkness. We see it so plain. We see it on the TV. It's never been so plain in politics as it is now. We know what each side believes and what the leaders make a difference. Leader exalts a nation, puts down a nation. All they have to do, all the government has to do is make a law. If you don't believe me, you go to China. And China has to have an underground church. All these socialist nations, communist nations, you can't preach the gospel in open square. Well, you can't in America. You can't go in the street. James got arrested. James Jacob in one city, he's out on the street preaching. They said, you can't do that. He said, this is America. They said, well, that's against the law. He said, you mean I can't preach on the street in America? He said, no, it's against the law. Well, you can preach on the street in India, but you can't in America. You go to our schools and try it. You go in our courthouse and try it. You go to anywhere and try it. What's happened? Liberalism. I've shouted it for years. Liberalism is the biggest enemy America has ever faced. No other nation on this earth is strong enough to destroy America. But if it's destroyed, it's destroyed within. All you got to do is get into one generations like they've got into our schools and our colleges and begin to take their mind. Like Hitler said, give me the kids by the time they're 7 or 8 years old and you can have them after that. I'll control the nation then in one generation, won or lost. And so he entered the schools and began to reprogram the kids. That's why they take our history out. Now then they take all of our history, our statues and everything. Satan hates patriotism. If you're a patriot to one nation and you're strong defending that nation, protecting that nation, he has to stop that and tear down your borders and tear down patriotism and make you a one-world government. Then he's got you. Why do you think they hate the flag? It's a demonic force. It's an antichrist spirit. Anti means against. Christ means anointing. Anything that's of God, that's anointed of God, you see that spirit against it. Well, it's very easily to be deceived. It's very easily, there's something about man. Once we adopt something, everybody, especially men, they have to be part of a group or a family. That's why young men join gangs. That's why people join denominations. And once they get in, you can't get them out. They take an oath to that greater than anything the blood of Jesus says. Well, bless God, we've always been Methodists. That's just what we are. Well, now, wait a minute. Did you know God has moved on? If you study church history, you'll find that God brought a truth into the church. He established that, then he moved on. The church has a problem. People have a problem moving on. They can't go from one move of God to the next. Well, it's the same way with the political party. We get it in our veins and in our blood, and it's hard to see anything else. I don't know what it is. I guess it's our pride. We just can't admit that it's different. And so Satan takes advantage of that. So my deal is, where does God stand? And I want to stand with God because he is the protector of our nation. Now, we see this more than anything else with this new virus. This is just one. The Bible says if you study it, there'll be plagues in the last days. Plagues. Well, what keeps us from having a plague come on us? A covering. The Bible says in Psalms 91, if you live in the secret place of the Most High God, he shall cover you. Cover you with his wings. Well, if he covers our home, covers our family, he can cover our church. And the church is strong enough, he'll cover our nation. He'll cover our nation. It's not whether or not, well, it really don't matter who you vote for. Who are you? Yeah, my goodness, yes, yes, yes. I'm not even like with Bernie Sanders. You know, it don't bother me, whatever. What bothers me, he's got so many people for him. A socialist. Does anybody have a clue what socialism is? How can you be so blind to see, well, if you don't study church history, you're like that. To see what that is. But it's coming, you know. You can't vote God out and think God's going to be in. When you stand up nationally on the stage and say, we don't want God. Well, honey, you're not going to have God. I just don't want our nation and the leaders of our nation to stand up and say, we don't want God. Well, that's what they've said. The Congress have said. They've said it in, you know, Ten Commandments or the nativity scene. What's the big deal about putting a little nativity scene? It's a big deal. That simply said, we want God. Now, the president we have now, you know, he's not maybe the best. He does a lot of things that I wish he wouldn't do or say maybe. But I was watching him the other day, and he said, he didn't know how that he'd won this, that, and other, but then he said, yes, I do. It's God. Yes. He's the only president we've had in a long time who'll let you pray in the name of Jesus. Yes. That's a big deal. Yes. You don't, God, when God gives a president or Congress or whatever, he's not looking for pastors, just somebody that'll honor him or recognize God and fight for the right to have God. That gives everybody the opportunity, you know, to have God. So he said, we're going to say Merry Christmas. That's a big deal. Put a nativity scene. That's a big deal. We're saying, God, you're welcome in our nation. You're welcome. And when we don't, it's a big deal. It is a big deal. Before, you know, back when it used to, everybody was Christians and worked, you know, stood strong as Christians. And really, you know, in each party, it really didn't matter that much who you voted for. You know, most of my family, a lot of them was Democrats, strong Democrats, you know. And so, fine, you know, because it's good. They just believe it's, they all worked for America, loved God. But I tell you, it's different now. It's different. It's not the same. And we need to wake up. And look with me in Exodus chapter 15, what God says to a nation. Now, the same rights that Israel had and the same covenant Israel had, the same blessings Israel had, is ours through Jesus Christ, according to Galatians 3:13. The same thing works for us as a nation, as a church. Now, God doesn't bless this nation because of sinners. Sinners sin. Don't get upset when they sin. That's what they do. They sin. And God's not going to bless our nation because of what they do. God blesses our nation because of what we do. What the church does. And that's what bothers me is when the church don't know the difference. And when the church can't see. And when the church is blind, and the church still promotes things. Amen? Amen? Exodus chapter 15, I guess you're there by now. Verse 26, and he said, if you will diligently heed the word of God, voice of the Lord, meaning to us it's the Word of God, your God, and do what is right in His sight. Do what's right in His sight. And give ear to His commandments and keep all of His statutes. I will allow, the Bible says, put none of these, but that's a wrong translation. It's in the permissive sense in the Hebrew, means allow. God will allow anything you want to do. If you want to leave here today and go down here and rob this gas station, you can. He'll allow you to do it. It doesn't mean he tells you to do it. He'll permit you to do it. He doesn't sanction it. He just says, well, I wish you wouldn't do it. And I'll try to get stop you, but you set on doing it. Knock yourself out. But you'll pay the consequences, right? And so I will not allow any of these diseases on which is coming on the world to come on you, for I'm the Lord that heals you. I will not allow it to come on you, or I'll protect your nation. God is the protector of our nation. And so, to me, it's so important when we see light and don't walk in it, we're in trouble. Amen? So it makes a difference. Over in 2 Chronicles, you can turn there to chapter 7, verse 14. We know this. You can put it up on the wall. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. We know this one. Now, so we got to, I believe Donald Trump, you know, and I know it upsets, I believe he has a prophetic anointing on him. That doesn't mean that he's the right hand of God and all that, but God has heard the cries of the church, and as far as making America great again, I believe that is birthed out of the heart of God. Now, that makes a lot of people mad, and I don't know why. Who in the world have a problem with America being great if you're an American? That tells us how blind we are. Well, I'll tell you, I wouldn't wear that hat out in public. Look what, how crazy people are. America, I'm an American. Make America great. Well, it's America's problem of the world. See how we've been brainwashed? Nobody does everything exactly right. You've never done everything exactly right, but you have done some good. And when you make a mistake, repent and go on, don't do it again. You know, I look at the good we've done, not the bad. We try to correct the bad. We don't stand up for the bad. We resist the bad. Amen? If my people, that's the church. Now, this is true today as it was when he wrote it. When Solomon, he told Solomon about the nation of Israel, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive the sins and I'll heal their land. Heal. Now, we see this virus. This is just a warning of things to come. People are afraid. They're afraid. The news media used it, political, and everybody uses everything political and all that. You can't get all that. But nevertheless, there is fear in the heart of people. The Bible says people's hearts failing them for fear of things coming on the earth. And he said, when you see these things, it's the beginning. So these things are coming, and they're coming fast, people. They're coming fast. And we have to recognize this and know this. And if we ever fought for our land and fought for our nation or fought for God and the church to stand up and be the church, we need to do that to where the protection of God will be on our land. I want the protection of God on our land. We can do that as a church. Why did that demon tell Lester Sumrall, I can't do one thing in this nation to destroy it unless I weaken the church. Unless I weaken the church. And I know the church. That's all I do is live in the church, study the church, and visit the church, and preach all over, hear from pastor. I see it. I know it. We're weak. We're not here. But what weakens us? The lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. What Paul told Timothy in society, people's minds on everything except God, they're easily deceived. Jesus said the first thing that'll happen in the last day is deception. Be pulled away. I'm your pastor. I know what's happening. I see what. And I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want us to be deceived. And it's very important how we stand up and what we stand for. And we got to take a stand. We're for God. Satan, you're not going to weaken us. We will restrain or we will resist you until we're taken out of the way. And we will not give our nation over to you. And over these people you've groomed to be in leadership. We're not going to do it. It's not about political party people. Get that straight. Over in 2 Timothy. I'll read you. 1 Timothy. Sorry. I'll read you this scripture. You don't have to turn there. Chapter 2, verse 1. We can play it up quicker. You can turn there probably. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore. What's that therefore? I exhort, first of all, and he says, I'm encouraging you and telling you, first of all, first thing you do, pray. Supplication, prayers, and intercession, and giving of thanks for men, for all men in authority, for kings and all who are in authority. Now notice, why do we do that? Why do we pray for our leaders? Why do we pray for those in charge? You know, it's easier to pray for somebody that's kind of got a heart toward God than it is to have a leader that don't want nothing to do with God. Are you out there? That you, that's us, that you, or we, says we, may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. Pray for that you'll have good leaders. Pray that you'll get proper leaders. Pray that you'll get men that's after my own heart, or it recognizes me or honors me or puts the word. They don't have to be staunch Christians, but at least they know they honor God. Pray for those leaders that I can move their heart. That you, it's all about the church, that the church may lead a quiet and peaceable life, that we'll have freedom to preach, freedom to do what we want to, that we'll have a quiet and peaceable life. Are you out there? We can't honor God or anger God. He's slow to anger. Amen? So it says that he will heal us and bless us. I'm going to read to you over in SC, good scripture. I'm going to read over in Daniel. You don't have to turn there, but I will. Chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, you can write this down. Verse 4 and 5. Daniel 9, 4 and 5. And I prayed to the Lord my God, Daniel also praying. They were in captivity then. It's easier to pray when we're leading a quiet and peaceful life where we can do what we want to and think, well, we're leading a quiet and peaceful life. We are in America. You say, well, it will never change, honey. Nations, like God told Kenneth Hagin, it's the last call America's getting. It's the last call America's getting. If America listens and hears and repents and turns, then I'll protect you. See, these politicians, I don't care who they are, Democrat, Republican, or Whigs, or pigs, or whatever they are. They're not smart enough. You look at them up. I mean, they fight like third graders. Worse than any third grader fight. No, I mean, it's not their intelligence, and it's not their great leadership that our nation's great. We all dawn on us. It's God. And it all depends on how the church and how we honor him and praise him. Like Exodus said, if you will listen to my word and do my word, and do what's right, then I'll bless you. nation. And I'll give you men. If you get a bad leader, I'll take care of it. But if we keep giving ourselves over to these people who are blatantly against everything that's God, that's absolutely blatant against it. 70 million babies have been killed since 1973. The only thing holding America together is you and I, my brother and sister, we're praying and believing God and repenting for that. And these people, now we've got homosexual marriages. We even got a homosexual running for president. Don't hate homosexuals. Don't go off and start all that. But you better read the Bible. It's not the people. It's the Spirit. That gets right on the stage from everybody and just kisses their husband. The man kisses his husband. How you know which one's which? Well, they say so. Can't tell by looking at them. What does God say about that? God says it is an abomination in my sight. Read, study what abomination is. That's not, he didn't say it's a sin in my sight. It's abomination in my sight. That's, God said, abomination means I will spew you out of my mouth. And he said, if you allow that, he told children of Israel, if you allow that, your land will get sick. Now, this don't go over nowhere. Getting in more, getting close to where I could be arrested for just saying that. Hello, America. Quiet and peaceful life. Slowly slipping away. God said your land will get sick and will vomit you out. Our land will. Well, it doesn't really matter, Pastor Ron. You better bend nothing. You better straighten up. Get ourselves in the church and start worshiping God and honoring Him. Just this, I believe just this one little church can save our nation. Abraham did. God said, I sought for a man. Righteousness exalted. Righteousness. Amen. These people are an enemy. They don't know it. They're an enemy of God. They've made God their enemy. I don't want us as a nation to become an abomination in the eyes of our God. America, Israel fell because of their pride. They thought they were strong. The Ezekiel came and God said, I'm sending you to a people who won't listen to you. And Ezekiel went, and they said, oh, we're too strong to fail. God's for us. We can't. Look how prosperous we are. Look how great our military is. Look how great. And they were full of pride, and God said, because of your pride and arrogance that you think you can stand alone, you're going down. Amen? See, this don't ever go over. Where did I say go? Daniel chapter 4. I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy to those who love him, to those who love him, and with those who keep his word. We have sinned and committed iniquity, and we have done wickedly in your sight and rebelled, even by departing from your word and your judgments. And Daniel began in captivity to pray and repent for his nation. He said, forgive us, Lord, for we've done wrong. And God listened to him and brought him back. Amen? So, hallelujah. Let's see. I got another good scripture here. Zephaniah. When was the last time you read Zephaniah? I can't even spell Zephaniah, let alone read it. One word here I want us to see in Zephaniah says, chapter 3, verse 6, I have cut off nations. I have cut off nations, and their fortresses are devastated. I have made their streets desolate with none passing by. Their cities are destroyed, and there is no one to inhabit them. there's some scripture talks about in the Bible where the homeless or the poor or the, all those will invade their cities and be in our streets and things. You look at California and things that's happening simply because we have departed from God, departed from the Word, and left God. He said in Deuteronomy 28, I'm not going to read anything out of that, but all the way from 27, 28, 29, 30, he talks about what will bless a nation and what will bring down a nation. And he says what will bless your nation and keep your nation strong is if you honor me and follow me and stay close to my word, I will bless your nation. See, we forget everything in our nation, especially in government, politics. We forget God. We don't thank God, and what we do for God in matter. It's all about God. I mean, these politicians dime a dozen. I mean, you know, you can shake a bush and they'll run out of money. They everywhere, politicians are. The only thing that can help us is God. Only thing bless our land is God. The only thing help our Washington, D.C. is God, not a political party. Not Donald Trump, God will bless Donald. I like it when he just mentions God. I don't care who it is. It matters not what political party. If they'll just reverence God or look to God or pray to God or give somebody else the opportunity in public, you know, constantly Donald Trump's letting church people and preachers all around him laying hands on him and praying. There's never been a president do that. God honors that. God sees our heart. God's almighty. He sits in the heavens. He lifts up nations, put down nations. He said there's sheep nations and goat nations. He said you can decide what kind of nation you're going to be. God made a covenant when the Pilgrims first landed here, and they made a covenant with God about this land. That covenant still holds true today. God will honor that covenant if the church, the righteousness exalted, righteousness exalted. So we need to pick or try to find the most righteous person or lean toward a righteous platform or lean toward the things God's against or lean toward the things God's for and against things God's against, then God will honor that. And if we don't, he'll leave it to herself. Amen? Malachi chapter 3. Hey, are you enjoying this?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to read this. And no, not chapter 3. Chapter 2. What are you doing in chapter 3? And now, verse 1. Let him give a chance. And now, old preacher, this is for the preachers in the land. Now, preacher, this commandment is for you. If you'll not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord God, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Wow. Now, you can't say America's not being blessed. We're the most blessed nation on the earth and always have been. Your dog eats better than most people in the world. That's a fact. We're so blessed. But if we forget that, even the pulpit, see, it's back down to the church. I'm not responsible for the world. The world, you know, they're blind. Our job is to cause the light to shine where they can see, and said, I will bless I will curse your blessing. Yes, I have cursed them already because you did not take what I was saying to heart. In other words, you didn't think it mattered. You didn't think it mattered. The things of God and what God says and what God hates, you thought, well, that doesn't matter. We're strong enough. It matters. God said, because you didn't take it to heart. And so my heart burns with the fact that if we've made so much progress in the last few years about turning America back toward God. But it's just temporary. You see the underlying platform of America and what it's done in our schools and the next generation. And if we sit back kind of sleepy and lazy and don't take it to heart, you know, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to make it till the end because I don't have a whole, there's more behind me than there are in front of me. You know, I don't plan on living another 70 years. So there's more behind me. But what about our grandkids? What about our children? What about the next generation? My heart cries for them. It's time to stand up now. That's what I tell these young people. Don't you get out there in the world and let the world talk you into this goofy junk. You stand up because you're the hope of the next generation. You're the leaders for the next generation. It's what you say and do in the spirit realm. It's your voice to the next generation. Isaiah chapter 53 says, who shall declare their generation? Hebrews chapter 11 says, these men, as the Holy Spirit moved upon them, changed their generation. Changed their generation. See, my job is trying to get things in the heart of people and get them to where they'll take heart. This matters. It matters. And so we have to resist this stuff. What these politicians are trying to, you know, the leader, that matters. Amen? Well, stand up with me. Hallelujah. God bless America. That's why I say it loud. The reason I do it makes the devil mad. Why do we say a pledge of allegiance? Because it makes the devil mad. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting Democrats, or we're not promoting Republicans or fighting any of that. We're against evil, wicked spirits that's trying to bring our nation down. We're against that spirit of Apollyon. He said, I'll bring this nation down because I will make the church dirty. And I'll weaken the church. And when I do, I'll take America. And he's been working his plan for years. And so, sleepy little church, as Howard Pittman saw, the placebo church, stood in. But it was weak. Amen? You're the church. We can shake this nation. We don't let these devils take over. Praise the Lord. You believe me?
Yes.
Father, we thank you this morning for America. We thank you for great leaders. You told us to pray for our leaders that we could live a quiet and peaceful life. Lord, I want to live a quiet and peaceful life. I want to sit in a rocking chair and rock knowing that everything's going to be fine, Lord. And we know it's a critical time in our nation. The devil thought he had it, but we've moved it back toward God. And I believe, Lord, there's coming a revival. And I believe you're going to shake everything and be shaken. And I think you're going to move the church back to where it stands in righteousness, stands in power, stands up clean, and causes the devil to have a heart attack. Father, thank you. He's not going to get our young people. He's not going to get our old people. The church is strong, Lord. The church is strong and mighty and powerful, and we're going forth into triumph. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray for this lady. Anybody need prayer for anything? You do come up here real quick. I'm going to pray for Casey's friend. Thank you, Jesus. And we believe Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to pray for her. And hallelujah. How many believe in prayer? I believe God can do anything, don't you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless her. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come here, Breezy. You and Brandon, lay hands on her there. It's Amy, come around here. Let me stand behind her there and we just bless her. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you know her name. You know where she lives. You know all about it. And Father, I thank you that you see every tear that falls. We see you see every broken heart. You see every moment, Lord, that she's been worried and upset and not knowing what to do. And the Lord says, things just happen, daughter. Things sometimes are just go out of my control. But don't you worry, says the Lord. I'm going to protect you and I'm going to guard you and I'm going to make everything turn out for your good. I see your broken heart. I see you hurt. I see the wounds. I see the betrayal. I see how you've been knocked down. But the Lord says, I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to help you and I'm going to protect you and I'm going to make everything work. You understand, says the Lord, I'm going to make everything work for you. It might not work out like you wanted it to or even like I wanted it to in the beginning, but I'm going to cause things to work for you. I'm the only one that can unscramble eggs, says the Lord. Man make a mess, but I always fix it for my children. So the Lord says, I'm going to heal your broken heart. I'm going to heal the disappointment. I'm going to heal the hurt. I love you, says the Lord. I love you. And you're not a disappointment, and you're not a failure, and you're not wrong, and you didn't do anything wrong. It's not your fault. Take the blame off yourself. Take the wounds off yourself. Stand up straight and push your shoulders back and know that your future is bright. I'm going to give you a hope. I'll not take it away. It'll never be taken away. And Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus that you have blessed her. You have encouraged her. You have healed her. Thank you for the wounds, Lord, that you're healing the hurt, healing the pain, healing the disappointment. And we, no blame laid here, Lord. No blame laid here. You can't help what people do. Father, I bless her. And we bless her with everything in us. And we cause her to be strengthened now with the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. The supernatural peace is her portion. The supernatural joy is her portion. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that she's going to get it. I don't care. I don't care. Nothing I can do about it. I don't care. It's not going to bring me down. It's going to push me up. Father, I thank you for blessing her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The devil crazy, ain't he? Tries to just mess her life up or gets in stuff. He's a little crazy. Be glad one of these days. I hope before the Lord throws him in that lake of fire, we all get to line up and punch him right in the nose. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got that.
Praise the Lord. I'm just going to do a couple of announcements. It's weird down here. I see all of you so clearly. Hey, there you are. It's just you can see everybody so closely. Reverend Ingolf Schmidt will be here Friday, March 13th at 7 and Sunday, March 15th at 11. Be here. We love Ingolf, and he always blesses us when he comes. So come and bring a friend. And Dr. Mary Baxter will be here Friday and Saturday, April 17th and 18th at 7. And then our Sunday morning service on April 19th at 11. And then the wild woman herself is coming, Reverend Elaine Homer, Friday, May the 22nd at 7 and Sunday, May 24th. At 11. I get so excited when I get to announce things. When I see her name on the roster, I'm like, yes, Elaine is coming. And her Call to Holiness conference is coming up in April. April 30th, May 1st and 2nd. And that's going to be in Tennessee. There's a flyer. It's in your bulletin, actually, right? And in the bulletin. So look at your bulletin and sign up for that. We like to go and bless her, and because she blesses us. And when we go, we bless her by our presence and praying with her and helping her. So we always get something from Elaine. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's say our Psalms 91 confession. I'm all out of sorts. Everything is moved around. I think we ought to move all of the all of your seats. Make everybody like change sides one Sunday. Lord. I know Mother did that one time, didn't she? Got us messed up for like a whole month. People started not coming back to church. Shoot. Maybe we ought not do that. You can stay where you're at. Just come to church. All right, here we go. Are you ready? We live by the words of our mouth and we confess Psalms 91 right now in Jesus' name. I say that no evil shall befall me and no plague shall come nigh my dwelling. For he has given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. I am going to live in great peace, great joy, and great prosperity. The grace of God is upon me. Therefore, I have the ability of God in life to be an overcomer. Everything I put my hand to will be successful. I have favor with God and man. I go from strength to strength. I will rule in this life, live in joy, and walk in the love of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance on you and give you great peace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed.